Well, well, well.
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
and everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. For the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments. For the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio.
I promise that you'll never find another like me. I know that I'm a handful, baby. You know I never think before I jump into the kind of guy the ladies want. And there's a lot of cool chicks out there. I know that I'm a psycho on the phone. I never leave well enough alone. And trouble's gonna follow where I go. And there's a lot of cool chicks out here. But one of these things is not like the others. Like a rainbow with all of the colors. Baby doll when it comes to a lover. I promise that you'll never find another like me. Like,
I know I tend to make it about me. I know you never get just what you see. But I will never fall you, baby.
And when we had a fight out in the rain, you ran after me and called my name.
I never wanna see you walk away. Cause one of these things is not like the others. Living in winter, I am your summer. Baby doll, when it comes to a lover, I promise that you'll never find another like me. I'm the only one of me. Let me keep you company.
That nobody's gonna love you like me. Spelling is fun.
No, there ain't no I-N-T.
But you know there is a me.
Strike the band of 1, 2, 3.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
No, there ain't no I-N-T.
But you know there is a me.
Can't smell awesome without me.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
Hey, good night, good night, good night. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Let's Talk Relationships. I am so glad to be here tonight and good to see you, Lady Misty. My
good
name
to see
is
you too, DJ.
Yes, ma'am. This is DJ KTE.
And this is Lady Misty. Good night, everyone.
Yes, yes. And tonight we'll be joined by Reverend Wayne Vernon. And we're looking to have a very, very good time in this Power in Relationship segment. And so we have been having fun for the last few months. We've been really having, we'll call it a Monday night fun.
That's
not
right.
Monday night blues, a Monday night fun. So we're here again. And I always ask Lady Misty, how was your day? Lady Misty, how was
my day? Was long, but it was good.
Yeah, it was long and good.
It was long, but good, yeah.
See, I see you wearing
typical
red tonight.
Typical Monday.
I see you wearing red tonight, so you must be up to something. You know? You came ready with the red, so I know I'm going to get my seatbelt on real tight because you're up to something tonight, Lady Misty, and I'm going to find out real soon.
No, I'm keeping it chill.
I hear you. I thought you would say I'm keeping it hot, but because the red really kind of gives the hot feeling, you know what I mean?
But I'm keeping it chill.
It's all good.
I'm keeping it chill. All right. All right, welcome everyone. Tonight we'll be talking about coping with sexual tension. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before we go into anything, of course, I want to thank our sponsors. As I say every week, without you, we won't have a show. So I want to thank UMEDigital.com, Mindfulness in Ministries Masterclass, mycoachministry.com. Check out their courses, of course, on Udemy, accessbusinesstree.com, an empowerment tool to help faith-based leaders build a business around their ministry. And last but by no means least, shopandown.com. And that's your personal online shopper and e-commerce store designer exclusively for sellers and buyers. And remember, guys, check out when you go to check out Shop and Own, please don't forget to type in our discount code LTR. Save for a discount on exclusive products. There are good stuff over there. Please go and check it out. We want to say welcome tonight to all those who are listening to us in the online space. We are so grateful for your company. All those on the Apple Store, Google Play Store, iTunes, podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, all the family over there. It's so good to have you tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Yes. And can I say there's a whole lot of listening going on?
Yes
it is. So folks, again, let me remind you guys that we here at UME Radio, our vision is to impact or empower 1 million lives.
That's right.
And so therefore, as you hear that, you hear Missy talk about the platform, you may have an idea, you may have a dream, you may have a brand. Remember, you are a brand now, right?
That's
so
right.
We're about empowering you guys. So not just about selling stuff, it's about we as a community coming
That's
together
right.
with our gifts, our talents, and what we have to offer and build and reach as many as we can. So
you're speaking it, right?
That's what it's about. It's about empowering others to empower others. All right?
That's right.
Yes.
So tonight we are going to go straight into our hot topic for tonight. And the hot topic is about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay.
And it says, in the case of Ghislaine Maxwell, who is currently locked up in Brooklyn, New York, a judge has released the transcript of her 2016 civil suit testimony after her lawyers failed to prevent their unsealing. Pardon me. In an article on its website, Vanity Fair shared some of the dialogue, and I quote, "You are trying to trap me. I will not be trapped," end quote. In the 418-page transcript of her 2016 civil suit testimony, the financiers alleged accomplice was largely evasive over the course of 7 hours. And that's, of course, from Vanity Fair. Ghislaine Marion Maxwell is a British former socialite known for her association with financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. She worked for her father, the publishing tycoon Robert Maxwell, until his death in 1991 when she moved to the United States and became a close associate of Epstein. So,
wow.
Ah, and the plot thickens. So Prince Andrew is facing yet more pressure over second disposition, deposition. Ghislaine Maxwell gave 3 months after first seven. Grilling as she fights to keep details private. So Miss Maxwell is in New York, in a New York jail, facing trial on child sex trafficking charges. So the story continues.
You know, as I hear this story, I always think of this thing. There always is a fall guy. Somebody has to always be the fall guy, and the majority of the real criminals get away. And that's just the way it seemed to work in this political and, you know, the powers that be. That's how they operate.
You know, it's interesting to know that, you know, she has been evasive, you know, over this long period of time. And it begs the question, will we ever find out the truth?
I doubt it.
Will we ever find out the real truth of all the things that happened in the Epstein empire while it was reigning? Will we find out the truth? Well, we'll just have to wait and see as the story unfolds.
Well, you know, for those who might have not been familiar with this whole saga, so to speak, you know, the history of what happened when with a lot of young girls who was said to have, you know, visited or taken to his island or from other islands, you know, and people who have notoriety and people that, you know, you would call them big wigs, were quite aware of it, you know, with the flights, the private jets, and with all the shenanigans, as you would say. And so people, you would be surprised who allegedly know about this, what was going on. But of course, you know, there's a hush-hush here. And so apparently we see where this Esperin used is, I would say brilliance. I mean, I wouldn't say it's positive, but we can see where he uses brilliance to actually, I don't know if it's blackmail or it's just be able to use manipulative ways to garner such a what call it, a reinforcement around him and his behavior, and knowing people who know about it saw it and looked away in a blind eye. So you can just imagine how many people were involved in this, and from the top to the bottom. But here we are again looking at a fall guy, right? And of course, she has not cleaned, because of course she being such a, I was a concierge in this whole process here, you know, the girls, saw the girls, they knew what was going on. So, you know, you heard about him killing themselves and who knows what that is and how true that is. And, you know, it's always dying alone.
Yeah, as I said, suicide, let's wait and see as the story unfolds. We'll learn some more.
Yeah.
That's
but it's
right.
Pretty interesting stuff, you know. But
pretty interesting stuff.
That's the world we're in, where the elites tend to be able to get away with these things.
All right, guys, don't forget to drop your own line. You know, we are anxiously waiting to hear from you. So those in the YouTube space, just drop a line, drop your comments, your questions, your own reviews there. and we will share them when the time comes. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are sliding straight into power in relationships.
Yes.
And of course, the topic for tonight is dealing with sexual tension. Now, as a precursor, you know, just to warm things up a bit, we're going to be hearing a clip from Facebook, Davil and his wife having a conversation, and then we will go straight into discussion. So let's hear it.
Let's roll it.
Based on our marriage laws and the contract we've signed with each other,
right,
to have sex with anybody else.
Right.
So these urges that come, mm-hmm. I have to share them with the one person I decide to spend the rest of my life with.
Right.
So that brings me back to my soundbite.
Okay.
Right? I don't understand, and this is what we can discuss, mm-hmm. as a woman, because I don't want to say it's a man versus woman thing, but a lot of women do complain, oh, my husband's always on me. Why is he always on me? Mm-hmm. If sex is going to be a chore for you that you don't really want to do, why do women constantly push monogamy on men? If you know that you don't want to have to deal with him all the time just wanting you, mm-hmm. why do you push monogamy on men?
Well, who's to say I pushed anything on anybody? Like,
well, we know that people, you pushed monogamy on me.
I pushed monogamy. I forced you to get married to me?
Time out. I didn't say you forced me to get married, but did you not say to me that you wanted to be engaged and you wanted to be married before you live with me? You didn't
say that? I want $1 billion. That don't mean I'm going to get it. I can want something, but not...
You right now, you're dodging the question.
Nobody pressed you to do it. Yes, is that something I wanted? Yes, it was. But
you didn't press me to... Are you going to lie now to the people because we're talking about sex?
Deval.
You're going to lie now to the people?
Deval. Knowing...
Kanine, you didn't want monogamy?
Of course I did.
So then why are you avoiding the question?
That's not avoiding the question. I'm saying, does that mean because I want it and I requested that you were going to deliver it? Like, nobody pressed you for that.
Talking about, you just said you wanted it and requested it. Do you not hear yourself?
I can make a request. Is the request going to be granted?
Am I not granting you monogamy?
You are granting it to me.
So this is my question.
Look at your boy.
This is my question. If you wanted monogamy,
okay,
why would you want monogamy if sex is a chore for you? That's the question. You're avoiding the question.
I'm not avoiding the question. But at first you said women or in general, me specifically, are pushing monogamy on somebody. Okay, yes, that's something that I wanted. But I didn't press you for it and be like, Deval, I'm going to hold a gun to your head to propose to me.
So come out.
Also, let me finish. Also, I don't feel like I was adequately prepared for marriage. And I've said that before, because if I knew that marriage and monogamy was going to involve me trying to meet you where you were at sexually for years to come, then I probably would have reevaluated it if I wanted to be monogamous anyway.
So that's fair, but we're not even talking about marriage. Let's even talk about dating, right?
Okay.
Two people are dating. Typically in society, who asks for exclusivity first, a woman or a man?
I would say a woman.
Thank you. That was my whole point. So you were going all over the place. If women typically ask for exclusivity first, then when they get exclusivity, say, he always on me, he always want to have sex. Why are we asking men for exclusivity if we do not want to participate in sex at the same level as men? We have to think about what that does to a man.
I hear that.
And I don't think that that's being, that conversation is being had.
Okay, I agree. And that part I agree with. Yes, that women are typically the ones that will ask for the exclusivity. I get that. Yes. But what I'm saying is, me as a woman, I don't think that I was necessarily prepared or in the mindset to know that. It's almost like once you get into it, then you're like, oh, shoot, like this is what I'm going to have to keep up with.
I get that.
Us speaking as 36-year-old people know that now. Had I known that at 26,
I get that.
I would have to contend with that. Even in the dating realm, then it might have been something I would have reevaluated.
So now let's go back to what you asked me. You said to me you never pressured me to get married. In 2007, we were living together, right? You said you no longer wanted to live with me and shack up with me because you wanted to be my wife, not my girlfriend.
Right,
because
I wanted to know where the relationship was going.
That don't sound like pressure to you?
It sounds like me voicing where I see my life going. It sounds like me saying this is what I would like. You can decide to meet me there. If not, we can reevaluate what exactly we're doing.
Okay. Additionally,
would I call it pressure per se? Not necessarily pressure.
It is pressure. But you don't want to say it's pressure. What about being
you
engaged?
You might have felt pressure.
What about
there
being
was no
engaged?
Pressure behind it.
I said, we don't got to rush to get married. You said, I don't want to be engaged longer than a year. Is that not pressure?
That's me voicing my opinion about it.
Sounds like pressure to me. So you say you want to be engaged. I get engaged. You say you want to be married within a year. We do that. We get married. Then you make it seem like sex is a chore to your husband. Once again, I ask the question, why do women who push forth monogamy on the man they're dating then get overwhelmed with that man who tries to provide that monogamy to you? Why do you get upset when we're trying to be what you want us to be? You don't want me to be with no one else, right? Right? I'm asking. This is a serious question.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't want me to be with no one else.
Absolutely.
So if I decide that all this testosterone I have, I want to give to you, why is this so overwhelming now? This is what you asked for.
Again, 26 and 27-year-old Kadeen was like, okay, here's the natural succession of life. You graduate, you're working, you meet somebody, you guys are dating. You want children.
Yes.
I want children.
Yes.
We don't want to wait too long or too late to have children.
Yes.
Though now a lot of people are waiting until their 30s to have
yes.
children.
And I understand why.
And we at that time felt like, well, we're doing everything in this natural succession that the forces that be have given us this timeline. However, I did not realize that after having children, after, you know, career changes, all of the turbulences that we've been through in life, that that was going to have a direct effect on my sex drive.
Okay.
All right. Listen. We are going to be unpacking some things tonight. DJ KTE, you know the discussion we had at length at our table read.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to be a very, very, very interesting topic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quickly shout out some people. I know that there are some persons on YouTube that are watching us tonight. So I want to say shout out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to
Thank
you guys.
You. Mm-hmm. Yes. Please, guys, if you're watching, please don't forget to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, because you know we need you over there to keep us going. Special shout out to Daniel Mitchell Powell and Mr. Raymore Williams. Good night, guys. How are you? Thank you for joining us tonight. Please don't forget as well to drop your comments, your questions as we go through the discussion tonight. All right, if you are WhatsAppable, that's my word.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
like
or textable. Yes, please don't forget to send in your questions or comments to the following number. That's 201-503-6731. And let me repeat that for you. 201-503-6731. So we got some stuff to talk about tonight. So we need some company, right, DJ KTE?
We do. I think we got
All
him
right.
here. I think we got him
Go.
Here. I think he's here.
Yes.
I think he's ready too. All right.
So it's my pleasure tonight to introduce Reverend Wayne Vernon.
Yes.
He is a pastor. He's a lecturer at West Toronto Church of God. And he may be contacted via Facebook. So you can check out his Facebook page, West Toronto Church of God. They're also on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and TuneIn. And they have worship services on a noonday meditation, and I'm sure he's gonna have a wealth of information and shedding some light on our topic tonight. Good night, Rev. How are you?
And by the
good
way,
night. I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing pretty good.
I am doing
pretty
great.
Good. And yeah. We got a shout out to Canada, right? We got a shout out to Canada in the house.
Yes.
Oh, Canada, of course.
Yes. And let me quickly count it. Let me say welcome to the Apostle Faith, Dr. Faith. She's here as well. And you'll be hearing
okay.
her real soon. Dr. Faith, thank you for being here with us. Yes, sir.
All right. So for those who are just joining us, welcome. And our topic tonight is dealing with sexual tension. All right. So Do I shoot the first question or do you, DJ KTE?
Ladies first, you're in the red, so I'm letting you go. I'm not messing with you tonight because I know you got some questions.
You're
I know
not you. I know you. Tonight.
It's all written down somewhere in that book.
Oh, all right. Good night again, Riff. Thank you so much for joining us tonight and to
it's
share
my pleasure.
With us tonight. I want to ask this question, and this is going to be a textbook question. What exactly is sexual tension?
Well, as we saw in the clip you just showed a while ago, sexual tension mm-hmm. is disagreements in marriage over sex and sexual activities. In that right. The partners are not in agreement. They're not on the same page as it mm-hmm. relates to their sexual involvement.
Right.
It could be the frequency. Mm-hmm. It could be the experimentations. It could be or the frequency or the infrequency.
Right.
I should say. Experimentation, you know, all kinds of things that surround the sexual practice and involvement. Couples are in disagreement as to how mm. and the why and the what. Mm.
All right. In the clip, some things jumped out at me, and you know, I have my own views on them. And one of the things that was discussed is that do we as women force monogamy on a man or exclusivity? Is it forced, or why do men see it as force? In my opinion, I don't think it's forced. I mean, if a woman's standard is this is what I want from the relationship, I think you should be committed to it. I don't see why you should think it as being forced. Like, for example, Davale was talking about being with one person and being married at a particular time, being engaged for a period of time. And, you know, he was saying, didn't you force that upon me? And his wife was saying, no, I was just simply stating that this is what I want out of the relationship.
Interesting. Well, hey, good. Before you say anything, Pastor, let me just acknowledge Dr. Faith. I think she just came on. I believe I see her. I see the hair, so I know that's Dr. Faith. I see the glass. There you go. Wave to us. Glad to have you, Dr. Faith. Awesome, awesome. Yes.
Continue. Hi, Dr. Faith. Good night.
And by the way, y'all, it's her birthday. Just passed this weekend. We had a great, great time at the cruise. It was phenomenal, guys. But let's get back to this topic here real quick. Pastor, Reverend Pastor, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. It does depend it depends on the circumstances. If we're mm-hmm. talking about Christians, if we're talking about people right. of faith, then a woman is not in the Christian community forcing monogamy on a man. Neither is the man forcing monogamy on a woman, because no man wants to know that his wife is duplicitous in her relationship. He wants to know
right.
that there are no parallel relationships, and the woman wants the same. A man will say to a woman, the girls can't do what the guys do and still remain a lady. Mm. But that's
yes.
something that people who are not of faith talk about. People who are of faith in the community of Jesus, in the body of Christ, people individuals are not forcing monogamy upon each other. It is adherence to what the Word of God teaches and what we what we uphold. Yes. That is in the Christian context. All right. We uphold it, and it is expected of each partner in a relationship. And my wife cannot say that I am forcing monogamy upon her. She wants the relationship to be exclusive. And Daville's wife did say that. She wants it to be exclusive. And he also is committed to exclusivity.
Right.
However, having locked oneself into this exclusive relationship, then one partner is saying, I did not expect this. I didn't know about this. Hmm. And as a pastor, counselor, my ears just perked up because there are some things that I would want to say about what she said that, but, you know, I suppose as we progress in our discussion, we can talk about that.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I want to hear tonight. I want to hear from Dr. Faith, Apostle Faith. And as you know, she's an author. She's a couples counselor, psalmist, and a pastor of Women and Men Excellence. And Apostle, good night.
Is she muted? I want to make sure we are hearing her.
I just came out. Can you hear me?
No, we can. Awesome.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you now, Apostle. Good night.
Okay. I just came on to listen.
Just came on to listen. Well, you cannot be in this space and just listen. It's too late.
It's too hard to listen, Dr. Faith. It's too hard. We got it. Some cool waters now.
Wade is doing a wonderful job.
Yes, he is.
What are you saying? I am so tired. Let's try that. Go ahead.
Okay, I was asking what's your view on sexual tension in a relationship? Are the men feeling more of the tension than women? Are women feeling more of the tension than men? What do you think?
I guess it could go both ways.
Okay.
Depends on the situation.
Understood.
Depends on the circumstance. Depends on what's really happening. What's really happening emotionally. Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking off the top of my head. Because right now I'm in a limbo here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I understand.
Yeah. So I'm still looming from my party. So you got to come with me.
Okay.
Yes. So
all right.
The tension can depends on what's going on emotionally with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is she feeling uncomfortable? Is it something that she desires? I'm trying to understand the sexual tension. Is it something that she desires to happen in the relationship, or something is happening that she's not pleased with? So I just need a little more clarity on that.
Okay. Oh, so the context here is a gentleman, they're a married couple, and so the gentleman is saying, why do women tend to ask for monogamy, right, to be monogamous, and so when the guy give her that exclusivity, she complains and she make it sex seem like it's a chore. So that
he has to beg for it.
Yeah. So you know. So no, she wants him to be exclusive, but he said, "Listen, here I am. I'm giving you all of me, but I guess maybe it's too much to handle." So now he's saying, "Why do you want me to be monogamous? But you're still making sex seem like a chore." So that's the essence of what's being discussed here.
Person into marriage only to be denied sex.
Right.
And then she's saying what? Repeat it. Let me see that. What's the other part again? Let me see that part again.
So what she's saying, he's, oh, you want to see it? Or you want to?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Person into marriage only, that's on both ends.
Right. So he wants to know why she wants exclusivity, wants monogamy, but then she makes sex seem like a chore. So now he wants her. He wants to give her all this, just her alone. But now she's saying, "Hey, it's they're not really a perk excitement. It's like almost like, you know, she's just kind of just not really
so,
working
so it's, with, it, with his it's, rhythm. It's the words. Man that's really feeling the tensions, because he's saying, no, okay, I want to give you all this loving, but in Jamaica we say, but you're locked sharp.
She don't want to give it up. You're trying to say she don't want to give it up.
Yes, not as often as he would want.
Oh.
That's what it is, yes.
Okay, how long have they been married? How long this couple been married?
I'm not quite sure, but we'll research it and let you know in a few.
Okay, that's pretty.
But they've been together for a while.
Oh, so they were living together for a while before they got married?
Yes, based on the background knowledge they gave, yes.
And then he also felt pressured because when he said to wait, not rushing to marriage, she said, I want to be married. So
but
he's saying...
Oh, they were always in a relationship. They was already in a sexual relationship before they got married, right?
Exactly, they were.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I would say, you know, going back, that's why I would say to people as you shack up, once you get married, you change the dynamics of the relationship. So it's more responsibility. You know, and the things that you never used to do, you know, because when you're, for me, when I look at it, when you're living together, it's not the same as if you're married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may act like they're married because they try everything out, but it's not the same. Because once you say, I do, it changes everything because now you're responsible
for this particular
person. You know, you're not living two separate lives. You're living a life as one. So you got used to that over time. So it depends on how long they were. So that could be a factor in what's really going on. You know?
Yes. Understood.
As I heard Reverend Vernon was talking, and he mentioned counseling, and I believe you mentioned it as well, as far as Dr. Faith. And it seemed like a lot of people do get married unprepared.
Exactly.
And so there's no good sense of what the possibilities are. And also what I heard on the pastor's Reverend said as well, is that when you deal with a Christian, in a Christian context, then it's a different way of looking at the same situation. And even how you word it, opposed to a secular minded person. So I'm hearing the distinction here, how we are to look at it from a Christian perspective and opposed to a secular perspective. She's talking about her body changed, right? And different things, having a baby. And
yes.
We know that's a whole process right there. And a woman can go through a lot. And sometimes after giving birth, a lot can happen to a woman's body where she may lose interest for a while, maybe temporary, it may be just a long-term thing. And these are things that are, I think, Christian men ought to, you know, be, I would say, mindful of. And
men overall.
And overall, but the Christian men, you know, we are called to be leaders. We're called to be, you know, to have the wisdom of God as well and deal with our wives. So, I mean, I put more pressure on them, those men who know God and say they love God and know God, to be aware of these things and be compassionate and be caring and have the understanding how to address these issues when it does occur. That's my take on it.
Okay. Are there some things I want? Go ahead, Dr. Faith.
You were saying about Christian, but I have met people considered some Christians. They cohabitate before getting married, so and they say they're Christians. So it's all discombobulated, okay? Because I've counseled a couple who have shacked up for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they say they're Christians, and they didn't want to get premarital counseling at first because they felt because they were shacking up already, they didn't need premarital counseling.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, you know, and then they were still, before they even came to counseling, they were still dealing with sexual stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, they did agree to 2 hours, two sessions of counseling. That's all I could have gotten from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they learned some things through the counseling that they didn't know before. So because the wife, she was previously married, this is the husband's first time, the guy's first time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people feel because they've been together a while, they figure they know each other, so there's nothing else need to be to know about each other. You know, so
sure.
I'm a little confused, you know, a little confused because they said they were Christians, but yet they were doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a little little confused, a little,
right,
a little twisted in some way. You know what I mean? So it depends, okay, on what you say, a Christian, or I just don't know how to explain it.
I understand. Reverend Vernon, I want to get back to you because I heard you talk about wanting to say some things pertaining to what the wife said. And we want to figure out, how do we even cope with sexual tension in marriage? But I want to hear what your thoughts on what the wife said from the clip.
Yeah, so it's obvious, and she admitted that she went into marriage and she was ignorant of a few things. She did not know. She said she was married at 26 or 27.
27, yes.
And there. She was young and she did not know. That I can understand her honesty, but I'm also concerned about her naivety. At 27, you know, I got married when I was 24 and my wife was 23. But we sought premarital counseling, and in my church, we talk about premarital preparation, because that's what I'm trying to do, prepare people for marriage. And, you know, we've been married for 31 going into 32 years now.
Yeah.
And, congrats.
Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've watched, and I mean, I'm being honest because that's how I share with couples in our couples ministry. I have watched my marriage ebb and flow as it relates to sex.
Yes.
Right? Before the kids, when we just got married, it was, I tell couples, it was like, you know, sex every day for the week and twice on Sundays.
What you're saying?
It was.
Talk to me,
We were hot, right, and we were in love, and it was happening.
Right.
And then the first pregnancy came after 2 years. And you go through that period and you are watching and being careful and stuff like that. And, you know, pregnancy of her, my wife's first pregnancy did not prevent us from having sex. I mean, our gynecologist, who was a good friend of ours, the baby was overdue. And he said, listen, guys, go home and, you know, have sex and see if you can, you know, break this thing so that this baby will come, you know. So we had fun. But then I watch our marriage go through a period where you know, illness happened and surgery had to be done, and you literally go through tension to sit and watch that beautiful girl who you would have sex with every day of the week, and we're both in our 50s now. But that does not stop us from being sexually active.
Go ahead, Rev.
Here are two things that I want to point out. One, a man needs to be very understanding, loving, and caring, even if he has an overflow of testosterone.
Exactly.
Okay.
A woman needs to be loving and caring and understanding. If my wife were to say to me, ever, take your hand off of me, man, that would be something that I would consider to be disrespect. Because when she wants to make love, there is no if or but.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When a woman wants to make love, most women want to make love. If their husbands are not, you know, in heat, if their husbands are not turned on, they want to know what happened to you. Why don't you want to make love? But when a woman
I want to pause you right there, because I have two questions for you, and I think they're pretty much related. Two viewers' question that I want you to address. So the first one says, hello and good night. I need your help. I love my husband, but I realize and appreciate him wanting to get closer to God, and we agreed not to be intimate so he can spend some time apart. But it's been 2 months and it's really hard. What do I do? And here's a follow-up question that I got. I am married for 6 years, and I think there's something wrong with my husband, because I want sex more than him, and it's creating a lot of tension. I have to beg, and when I do, I feel like when he just does it because he just does it because I ask him to. If I don't, it will go up to months. Help. And that is in all caps.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Yeah. That's a question, all right.
Right.
That's so, a question.
So if we start from the second one first, okay?
Okay.
A woman desiring sex more than her husband, and it depends on their age and their stage in life. Okay. It's possible. However, I would encourage people to go to counseling. And it is not because counselors know everything, but it is because we're able to help people to unearth certain things.
So
in another life, when I lived in Jamaica and I was lecturing at a Bible school in Jamaica and pastoring a church, a lady came to me and said to me, her husband is sex-starved because she grew up with her grandmother and she wants to go to bed, you know, clad, dressed, she wants to go to bed in quite a bit of clothing. And her husband is frustrated because
put it on.
Yeah, he's not getting any sex. And so I said to her, I'm gonna try to help you. And we talked about her childhood. We talked about why was she like this. She grew up with her grandmother and right. a lot of taboos. And if you're a Christian, and this is going to link to the next question you ask, you know, you want to get closer to God, then, you know, you stay away from sex and those kind. If you're going to have communion on Sunday, you know, no sex Saturday night.
Yes,
if you're going to fasting tomorrow, no sex before you go. And if you're on 21 days of fasting,
uh-oh.
Then, you know, no sex. And
preach now, preach.
After the 21 days, you go on 40 days of fasting. No, this is crazy.
Oh, my and God.
It is not supported by the Word of God.
That's right.
The Word of God says, if you're going to not have sex with your partner, it must be mutually agreed.
Agreed. Yes, it does.
And
it does.
After you are done your time of devotion, you come back together so exactly. that you will That's not right. be tempted.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know where we get this thing from, you know, yeah. people fasting 21 days and 40 days and they leave their partner hanging. So let's go back to the second question. People yeah. need counseling. We need to go. When okay. I was done with that lady, I gave her a book intended for pleasure. She mm-hmm. read that book and told me she hid it under her mattress and wow. she would read wow. it and her husband didn't know. When she was done wow. reading it and learned certain things, mm-hmm. her husband mm-hmm. asked her, let me ask you a question. Is who you're talking to? Because she was bringing the fight to him and he could not keep up.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Right? So I would suggest that couple goes to counseling because there may be an issue with the husband. I don't want to label anything, but chances are
somebody's
he
wrong,
was
somebody.
Sexually abused. Okay? Chances are, because I've That's known couples true. That I have worked with that the woman will not have sex with her husband. He tells me he has to rape her literally if it is going to wow. happen, right? And when we got to the bottom of it, she grew up in a home where her dad was a homosexual, and he would bring all these boys to the house and, you know, treat them nicely. And she would hear him in the room and the boys begging him to stop. And she was scared to death. It is in her head. And not until counseling was done and help was given did things change. The other person who talked about the partner wants to spend time with God. We just mentioned it a while ago. It's okay to spend time with God. It's okay to pray and fast and so on. But like I said, the Bible does not support us denying our partner sexual encounter. In fact, the Bible speaks against it, that we should not withhold sex from our partners. That's what the Bible tells us. Yeah. So, you know, the church I pastor, my brethren know, don't come to me with, you know, pastor, tomorrow, today is communion, so I never had sex last night. So don't bother with that. Because, you know, if you can show me in the Bible, I will work with it, you know, and I'll work with you. But counseling is needed. A lot of Christians, sorry for talking so long, a lot Christians have ruined their marriage over sex. Many Christians, prayer warriors and prayer mothers and prayer fathers, a lot of Christians have ruined their marriage over sex, and their partners have gone out to prostitutes. Their partners have gone out to younger girls. Their partners have gone out, and it's not that they wanted to, but the question is, how must I live like this? But we've got to set the record straight and allow people to know that sex is a gift from Almighty God. Amen. And any day you find in your marriage that your libidinal energy is low, talk to God about it and go to your doctor and go to the health food store and take care of your body. Sex is an important aspect of marriage, and your marriage will fall apart if there is no intimacy and if there is no romance in the marriage. Yes.
Yes, and might I add this, Reverend, that's very powerful. A lot of times, you know, you have communication, you have sex, and you have money. And a lot of times when the sex go outside the household, so does the money. Lot of these men, they spend to get what they want with in the household. So that's something to take note of. So what you're saying is so true. It's so true, Reverend.
Awesome. I have another question, and Dr. Faith, you can answer this too. If please jump on it. You're saying Lord have mercy.
Not literally, but
I have another question coming in. Okay. All right, so Rev, where's the question? I lost it. Oh, okay, here it is. All right, so, and I asked this question today, and somebody just sent me the message asking me, how many times a week should we as a couple have sex for it to be considered normal, and how many times less is it considered as not normal? I hope you understood the question. I just read it as is.
Yeah, that's for me.
Yes, you can go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it depends on the age of the persons. It depends how long.
But I didn't get the age here, but yeah.
Right. It depends on how long they're married. It also depends on their physical situations. Mm-hmm. For example, a woman who is struggling with fibroids or any other medical condition, there may be challenges. A man who is struggling with diabetes or hypertension and some other illnesses. It could impede the frequency of marriage. The older you get, though, sometimes is the less frequent the your sexual activity becomes. But because you are old soldiers and you are you are experts at this thing. Even when the frequency decreases, sometimes the quality.
That's good.
Quality.
That's good. That's important. Of the,
when you are an experienced lover, and you have a great sexual encounter, man, that thing can last you for a few days, you know.
That's true.
Yes.
You know, before there's a replay. You know, sometimes the persons who are a little bit older, you know, they have a great sexual experience tonight. They have another great repeat tomorrow night, and they are good for the week. Sometimes they're good with nothing for the week, and when they make up, they have great sex. So it really depends on the couple. But the couple, younger people who are, you know, healthy, you know, there's nothing wrong in them having sex three times a week, two times, three times a week. There's no reason. Like I said, when I was young, and when we were young and just got married, and she was 23 and I was 24. We had sex like it was going out of style. And I can understand younger people, you know, who enjoy themselves. Now, with all our responsibilities and grandchildren and stuff like that, you know,
traveling and working.
It's a different role, you know. It's one of those things. My wife and I, for example, we have downsized our home and have decided that our kids need to be on their own. They're married and they don't need to live with us anymore and share house with us anymore. You know, we started them off by allowing them to live with us, and now they're able to fly. And so we sold our a big house and you know, scale down, and I said to them, I have no room for you here, you know. So this, and I've told my kids,
I like that. Ingenious.
None of them will be getting a key for my house.
That's right.
Okay. Reverend, no. It's official. 21st century genius. Okay, I like that.
Yeah. I have another question. I want to get in as much of them as possible. So here's another viewer's question. If my husband is unable to pleasure me, is a vibrator okay to ease the tension? Ooh, and things got real quiet. Okay.
I thought that was gonna answer. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you, right? I want to be straight up with the person who asked the question.
Yes.
I have known couples who have reached a stage, or a woman who has married a man who is much older than she is. Mm-hmm. And he has slowed down and she has peaked, you know? I've also talked with couples who the woman has done a hysterectomy. And, you know, after hysterectomy, some women are dangerous at this thing. I don't know what happens, but the reality is that some women have shared that after hysterectomy, their husbands cannot keep up with them. Wow. You know, is it okay for somebody to use a vibrator?
Additives.
I'm going to say, to be honest with you, that couples have got to find ways to overcome their challenges, and if a man is not able to have an erection, there are a million and other ways that he can give pleasure to his wife. They need to read about it and find it and explore all of their erogenous zones and make sure the wife is satisfied, even if there is no penetration. If a woman feels that she is not being pleasured, then I am sure that having assistance, having a vibrator is much better than having another partner or another lover. Yes. And if you do have a sex toy, it should not be hidden from your partner. Your partner needs to know that you have it. And it needs to be a loving conversation. It should not be, well, you can't pleasure me, so I have to do my own thing. No, there needs to be a loving conversation.
True, true.
And he needs to understand that he can't pleasure her that way. She has a lot of erogenous zones that God has provided her with. Yes. And, you know, he has other members of his body that can be used to make her happy if a penetration cannot, if he cannot have an erection. So couples need to be open about their sexuality and need to talk about it and need to make some decisions between themselves. And I tell you, I tell every couple, your door must be locked. There must be a key to lock your bedroom door because it is just for two people. And I tell them, make sure you keep your body clean, every part of your body clean. And make sure your bedroom door is locked. And whatever happens inside there is nobody's business. But that's the two of you who agree that this is okay and that is okay and we will do this or we will do that, you know, open conversation between the two of you.
And Reverend,
have fun.
Reverend, an old song came to mind. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Okay.
And a newer song came to my mind, DJ KTE.
I was thinking Marvin Gaye. What do you mean, Marvin Gaye?
I was actually thinking of Apostles' Faith song where he was talking.
That was in my thought the whole time he was talking.
I know I am rushing into Emerald.
But what I was thinking too is
a lot of couples need to know how to do foreplay.
Okay.
Know how to find each other's spot that turns them on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you don't have to always end in sexual penetration all the time.
True.
You know, you could make love without having to penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times some couples don't understand that. Because as Reverend talked about, going back to culture that always has an effect on the relationship, especially in the church setting. Mm-hmm. It has a very strong component in the relationship. And if, as you talked about counseling, that is so key because you have to kind of peel off a lot of things that have gone through people's minds.
Right.
You have so many couples can't be happy in their relationship because they have all these baggages from the past and so much different taboos and things like that. That's why they can't enjoy that part of their marriage. You know, and even the scripture that says marriage is honorable, the bed is on the filed.
Yes.
You know, so basically what God is saying, whatever makes your partner happy, you know, that's what you do. Because it's all a mutual agreement between two people who became one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if that's why when you talk about counseling as well, you notice how many times the Reverend brings that up. Okay.
Yes.
That's a very key component because what it does is open up other areas that we never even think about going to, you know, and sharing.
True.
I even had some, they always have this thing come up about oral sex. It's always a big thing that pump, even in the church community. Oh, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to do oral sex. I had one person told me one time that her pastor told her that if you use your tongue to praise the Lord, you shouldn't use it for that purpose. So I said, but that's your husband. What is your husband? What is your pastor God would do with what you do in your bedroom? Mm-hmm. That's really none of his business. you know, and so all the different things, they come with different ideas, they come with, you know, and that's one of the big issues too in Christendom about oral sex. That's a big topic, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of people, a lot of couples, especially female, don't want to engage it. I had another lady, she was about to get married, going to Jamaica, get married. So I would give him a little advice, and I did talk about that part. She goes, we're not going to do that. You know, we talk about this. We're not going to do that. Ew, this is how she carried on. This is her response. I was like, wow. You know, so they already had the consent, and they're going to do that part. So I'm going to say to myself, but then, you know, marriage is a beautiful thing, and you enjoy each other as much as possible. So you are mutually, you know, in agreement. So, so a lot of it is all based on how we think towards that topic, you know.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that we need to break away some of those, what's the word?
Stereotypes and taboos. And
cobwebs, yes. Mm. To make it more enjoyable.
Yes.
For each other. So, you know, and as you talked about health, that's also be a factor too as to why, you know, things are not happening the way it's supposed to be happening in relationships, you know. So, you talk about going to the doctor, that's very important. You got to keep ourselves up to, you know,
yes,
to a level, you know what I mean? So to make it, you know, pleasurable for each other. And using toys, there's nothing wrong with using toys. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's a mutual thing. So basically everything is mutually agreement with each other, and that's how you get things going.
All right. I know we're at the halfway mark, but there are two questions I want to address, and I think these were towards the to Reverend Vernon and Apostle. Please feel free to share your comments as we draw closer to the wrap up of this section. And I how do singles realistically cope with sexual tension? And the other question is, what does a loving conversation look like as it relates to talking about new experiences in sex with your partner?
Can I answer that first one?
Sure.
Well, single.
Sure, sure.
Okay, well, personally for me, I was married before. So, been single a long time now. And one thing I learned, because I had the experience already, and I know I'm going to be single for a while, I had to ask God to help me to maintain myself so I didn't get caught up in the sexual tension of being a single person, because, you know, it can happen. So one thing I also learned to do is I had to be careful listening to a lot of songs that create that mindset, that sexual mindset. Because I remember one time I was listening to, there's a song that T.G. Jakes was playing, him and his wife, her lady, her lover, and her lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So the song was so sensual. Oh my goodness, the song started waking up. I said, oh my Lord, have mercy. I gotta be careful. I can't even listen to this. So, oh my goodness, it was just waking up areas that were sleeping for a while. I said, Lord Jesus, help me.
Oh my God. At least you're keeping it real, Dr. Faith. You're keeping it real.
I was talking to one of my friends. She said to me, you can't listen to those songs in your singleness, honey, because then, you know, you got to be so careful. So I had to make sure I keep my mind, in control. I
try your air gate, huh?
I keep it in control. Mm-hmm. I ask the Lord to help me. And sometimes, trust me, sometimes I feel all kind of strange. I said, Lord Jesus. You know, so we got to keep ourselves prayerful, you know, and being, you know, I'm still a sensual person. So, you know, you just got to keep it under control and know what songs to listen to, you know, especially some that would stimulate the mind, you know what I mean?
Because
we're still active, even though we're sick, we're still active. Our mind, we're not dead completely, you know.
So true.
This one, something what I've done over time and keep myself prayed up and keep the word of God in my spirit to have me not to you know, going. I ask the Lord to keep me balanced. Okay, all that's right. The way I do it. Mm-hmm. All right, so Reverend Wayne, I would love to hear your comment.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that we have to be pragmatic. It makes no sense. If you used to have trouble with alcohol, there's no point in going to a bar. If you had a drug problem, you can't go hang out with junkies. If you're single and you watch a sexual movie, you're going to be turned on. You go to bed and you leave your radio playing love songs, you're going to have challenges. If you put yourself into certain situations, you're going to have challenges. But I usually say to persons, if a single person cannot control their emotions, then when they get married, they won't be able to control it either. You got to be careful about that. What I don't want to do, I don't want to downplay the fact that being single, sometimes the sexual pressure comes on. And it comes on in a major, major way. And sometimes it is extremely difficult for singles to handle. But if you're handling it on your own, you may be in trouble. To stay in a corner by yourself, it's hard. With this quarantine and this lockdown and isolation with COVID-19, you know, if you talk with some pastors, you know, they can tell you that some of their members crossed the line during this lockdown because people were lonely. I have people in my church that I'm journeying with now because they have shared with me that during the lockdown, things have happened. You know, one needs not to journey by yourself. You need accountability partners to be able to say, you know, to help you to walk through, to journey through. Be careful of your music. Be careful of your movies. Be careful of the persons you hang out with, because sometimes they put more pressure on you than anyone else. You know, the next question that that was asked, remind me, please. The first one.
What does a loving conversation look like?
And correct.
Yeah, this is with relation to experiences using toys and so on.
Yeah. So couples need to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And those conversations cannot be had during times, for example, when the lady wants to have sex or she's not satisfied, you know, then there's a big blow up. No, I think that we need to have our couples understand that they need to have conversation. They need to be able to talk with each other and to say to each other, look, I'm not satisfied when you do this or when you do that. It gives me more pleasure when you touch me here rather than you touch me there. I get more excited when this or that happens. You know, conversations where we talk, where a wife lets her husband know, I understand, or a man says, I understand that this is your situation. Believe me, when loving conversations are held, sometimes a woman will say, let us try this or let us try that. She will acquiesce sometimes, you know, if the conversation is loving. But if the conversation is you know, really, you know, aggressive and abrasive, and, you know, she's not going to. And when a man, when a man feels emasculated, when a man feels that you are belittling him, when a man feels that you're disrespecting him about sex or about his performance,
you can destroy him.
Oh yeah, if you kill the king, the queen is dead. Wow. Right? You gotta pay attention to it.
Wow. Yes, and as a matter of fact, now let me just jump in real quick. I see Lady Althea in the house, and I believe she has a call. So if you hear Lady Althea, could you just open your mic and share what you have so we can respond? Lady Althea, I believe I see you. Just unmute your phone so we can hear you.
Can't hear you.
We're not hearing her. You've got to unmute your phone so we can hear. Okay, so maybe she's having some technical difficulties.
All right, so closing remarks, 2 minutes. Yeah. So 2 minutes, we got to wrap this up to get into our other segment tonight. So 2 minutes, wrap it up. How do we adequately, efficiently cope with sexual tension? Who wants to go first? Rev, you want to go first?
I'm not hearing the Rev. I think is he muted or something?
You're not hearing.
No, I was not hearing you guys.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I was saying closing remarks, 2 minutes. How do we adequately cope with sexual tension in a nutshell?
I believe that we all need to, like I said, have frank conversations with each other to make sure your wife knows, you know, what you're thinking and what you're going through, and make sure your husband understand what you're going through. This is how my wife and I have been able to make it through 31, going to 32 years of marriage. You know, we've had frank conversation. She has told me when she was not satisfied. She has told me when she thought I was being rough and barbaric with her. You know, I have shared with her when I feel like I'm sex starved, you know, and we've gone through the whole gamut of this thing. Sex before children, sex after children, sex during illnesses, etc., 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 etc. You know, and it has brought us to 31 years. So every couple needs to have frank conversations about sex and make them meaningful and loving conversations. Make them intimate conversations. And every church needs to have a couple's ministry that can have frank conversations like the one we're having now. If we don't, then you know, our Christian community are just going to grope in darkness, and people are going to hear from their friends, you know, do this and do that and try this and try that. When we have a Bible, read Songs of Solomon. We have a Bible that you can find love. You know, some people don't want to read it. Let her breast satisfy me. Come on. It is there. It is all there. Thank you.
Man, this is good stuff.
Thank you, too. You know, preaching, Rev. You preaching.
You know, let it misty. Let it misty. This is officially part one, because we're going to have Reverend Vernon back again to share. That's, because I started something great. Dr. Faith, you're something, too. I tell you. Firecrackers, man. I love it. So we got to do this again. And I'm loving this.
I like what he said, because just to reiterate, communication is key. Any relationship, any loving relationship, communication, you got to keep talking, you know, and sharing your feelings, and each person has to respect each other's feelings, thoughts, and opinions. One can't have it over, because there's some men, I know in culture, some men say, I'm the man, so you gotta listen to everything I say. You know, and she has to do everything he says. That is not. It has to be balanced. It needs to be balanced. In the relationship, it has to be balanced. It's equal for everybody. And it's not 50-50, it's 100%.
Each.
For both parties involved. Because, you know, when a man leaves his mother and father, that's the word, to cling on to his wife, they are one flesh. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about us. And if we think about it in that way in relationships, I think we'll have better, we have longevity, and things we've got to go much better. Even if we have issues, things that come up, we can, there was a saying said, you can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, those things can happen in relationships. But the thing about it is when you come back together and don't let the things fester.
Yeah.
Okay? And learn how to come together and just be open and be good listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and women like when men listen, because a lot of times we multitask. So we want to know our husbands are listening to us. You know, sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just listen. You know, we got it together. Just listen. Hear us out. Honey, you listen to me. That's key. That's
love
key.
It. Love you it.
Know?
Love so it.
These are things that, you know, we really got to really come. And I believe the more we do this and communicate, listen to each other and work with each other, I believe over time things will really work out good.
Awesome.
That's my take.
Amen. All right. Wow, what a powerful segment. We could go on and on and on and on and on. So this is definitely part one, right, DJ KTE?
Part one of the saga.
Yes.
So we really, really want to thank
the saga.
Want to thank you, Reverend Vernon, for being here. We really, really thank you.
I love this. I think you are just an inspiring man. I love it.
With your experience and knowledge, I'm sure. You know, we are in over 64 countries now. So who knows what, and who knows what's hearing what, and who's might be edified and be touched by this. So that's the idea, is to empower.
And the viewers are sending all their love to both of you.
Yes. Man. And Dr. Faith.
We love them too.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right. So we are going straight into our life moment segment, guys. And... Yes, sir. And the lovely apostle is our guest for that segment tonight.
Look at here.
Yes.
All colors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
She has celebrated her birthday, well, officially on the official date, but
yes. Oh my God.
I know she's celebrating the entire month.
Yes,
she's the lady after my own heart. I love her. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, Apostle Faith, how was your birthday, first of all?
Oh, my goodness. It was fantabulous.
Well, I was there, so I can tell you. I can tell my piece. I was there, so I can tell you my piece.
Okay.
Dr. Faith knows how to party all by herself. I have never met someone who knew how to party all by themselves. She's a master at that, okay? Okay.
Wow.
Not sure what they felt when she got home, or tired of Pete was, but she knows how to party, okay?
Yes. Well, Dr. Apostle Faith, I know that us women, we don't pass 25, right? We don't, we unofficially don't pass 25. But, you know, what is the significance of your birthday to you?
Well, I tell you, I celebrate my birthday every year since I was 38.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I do that is, you know, nobody ever celebrated me. I grew up, very lonely and lost. So I decided that I'm going to celebrate me, and I'm celebrating God for giving me life.
Nice.
That's right.
So I whether anybody want to celebrate me or not, I'm still going to celebrate me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I could go have dinner by myself.
Yes.
I date myself. I go to movies. I don't wait on people.
Yes. Before I was married, I did that too. Self-date. Right. Yes. That's very therapeutic.
There you go.
You call this person. Oh, I can't make it. Then I want to go somewhere. I'll say, I'm going to take myself to the movies.
I'm going to go somewhere.
I'm going to take myself here. And I just get up and just go. Because I say, you know what? And I enjoy sitting with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I also learned over time that even you desire to be with someone, a person is going to treat you the way you treat yourself.
True. Oh. Very true.
Okay.
So
this is how the man is going to see you. And that's how he's going to treat, because that's going to be attractive to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I've gone in restaurants where, I mean, I spend a whole, it don't matter to me. I just, whatever you got, I like it, I'll buy it. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
As I said, it's me. I like to get my little drink on.
Come on now, Apostle. Come on.
Hey now.
So how can listeners, Apostle, share in your birthday celebration? I know, you know, it's going to go on for the entire month.
Well, yeah, they're doing it now. I have some people that are joining here.
And, yes.
I have, when I have my Zoom information, because I had the big party on Saturday.
Right.
So, I'm not going to have, but, you know, when we do these little public segments, I invite people to come on and they're able to share. I have some people give me connection on Facebook and things like that. So that's basically
yes.
Here. You know, another thing I do is I give out, even if I didn't have a party right away, I usually buy a big cake and just share it up and give to everybody. That's another
okay.
Reason to celebrate as well. So.
Nice.
Well, I want to share some greetings with you. So Nadine Bennett says, happy birthday, Apostle. Enjoy. There's one also from Lyneth Hunter. And she says, happy birthday, woman of God, with an assignment. Best wishes on your birthday. Blessings always. And there's another one from Apostle Darlene Fordyce saying, happy birthday, Apostle Faith Walters.
Delrine Fordyce, yes.
Delrina, yes, my apologies. Yes. We want to say from the LTR family as well, happy birthday. And I know already that you're enjoying it and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be lit. That's what you're going to say, right? You're going to be lit.
I'm going to get through the moment after Saturday because I danced. I was, when everybody sat down, I even outdanced my children.
She never stopped. I mean, she literally never stopped. I mean, she kept going and on and on and on. I'm like, how does she do it? But it was fun. I mean, she kept the energy real high, man, I tell you. That was good. That was
all
good.
Right. So we want to go straight into I don't know if we have the birthday song for you, because we planned for you, Apostle. We wanted to treat you so nice coming over on LTR tonight. It's always good to celebrate life.
Mm-hmm.
Not many persons have the opportunity to celebrate.
True.
Not many persons live to see past a certain level of birthdays, but you are here on planet Earth for a while,
yes,
sharing your experiences and your wealth of knowledge, and that is something to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It says your birthday gives us an opportunity to thank the Almighty God for life. Yes. It also gives us a fine opportunity to tell how much of a blessing you have been to all of us. We can confidently say three things about you. You are kind, supportive, and truly an amazing client. We doubt that this life would be half as interesting as it is without you. For being such a wonderful person, may God keep you happy, not only on your special day, but for eternity. You deserve that and so much more. And that's from UME Worship, telling you happy birthday.
Thank you.
And one last thing, Dr. Faith. When that Mr. shows up, please take it easy on him, please.
He said, "No tension there. No tension there. No tension there." Oh my God.
I hope your heart is good because it's been a long time.
Yes,
oh my Lord. There are birthday greetings coming to you as well from Doug Braxton, Sylvia Horn, and Heather Mendez. And they all say, happy birthday, Queen.
Shout out, huh? There we go.
Yes. So, to take us out tonight, we are going to be playing the happy birthday song for you tonight.
And before you play the song, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I celebrate it every year is what I forgot to mention this. I also want to give people an opportunity to get out. Mm-hmm. Get out of their comfort zone, get out of their, you know, inhibitions about, you know, because some people, they don't think a birthday is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. they say, oh, just another day, but
understand, it's a big deal.
People don't live to see their birthdays.
True.
Very true.
To see yours, you, mm-hmm. you need to take, you know, take it seriously because life is important. You know, life mm-hmm. is important. And we got to learn how, and when you start love you and you just celebrate you all the time, that's so important. And the more you celebrate you,
yes.
the better you're able to live.
Very true.
In
true.
Peace and, you know, and you be more of a light to others, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, because people say, why you do this every year? Because people need to loosen up a bit. People just mm-hmm. too close-minded and too,
yeah.
you mm-hmm. know, you got to loosen up and have, you got to enjoy life. Have fun. Yeah.
There you go.
Out, you know, and
that's right.
Even people in church, you know, they don't think that you're supposed to enjoy life. You're supposed to just be. Now, the funny thing is, if you were just a party person enjoying yourself before you got saved, okay? Mm. And some people, when they get saved, all of a sudden now, they just lock down all the person who they were before, the jolliness about them somehow went dormant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. When the Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Uh-huh.
So then your excitement should not stop. It should be enhanced. It should be heightened to another level because once you have Jesus in you, he gives you the victory. He gives you the stamina. He said, we are more conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So that's right.
We keep pushing, the more we keep growing and building in the Lord, we get more excited about him and mm-hmm. what he has done. So, you
that's
know,
right.
I don't understand how people, you know, because it also says that when you get saved, you just change partners. You know,
that's it.
The dullness about you is supposed to continue.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He went to a wedding.
Well,
he did,
yeah. You
know, he did his miracle. I mean,
Jesus yeah.
enjoying himself too. Or they think Jesus was this little sanctimonious person. No. See, again, as we
talk. Oh my Lord.
About culture, how culture kind of
yeah.
do a lot of the sweetness or the mm-hmm. just lack of a better word, you know, the takes out all the excitement out of
mm-hmm.
How you're supposed to be as a person. You know,
yes,
you
gotta
find you. You're gonna find you and what makes you happy.
Love it.
That's right.
Happy. Then that goes out to other, because the Bible says you sing songs. The Bible says you sing songs and you
hymns and spiritual songs and good stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And
okay, you know.
Do things with yourself. Silly things to yourself. Act silly. You
don't have
music playing today.
There you go.
Music up in your heart. Music, it's everywhere. You know, it's in our DNA. Everything is here. So just utilizing what God has given us and just enjoy life.
Well said, Dr. Fady. Well stated. My goodness, this is so good. I'm telling you, let's go with this brand new song. I can't wait to hear it.
Step, the curl of my lip. walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's in the fire in my eyes, in the flash of my teeth, the swing of my waist, and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman.
Talk relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship. Let's Talk Relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever.